You are weary, thus the way seem long. Look to the Lamb of God. And that's been a real mantra, encouragement to myself, of course, given in light of just all the different heart-aching, heartbreaking news you've heard just lately here. And I'll allude to that in the message. But I just praise the Lord for His mercy and goodness to us. It's a joy to serve together. May we always give all honor and praise to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, this is not to diminish when we get hurt or heartbroken when we hear of, bad things happening. I'm not just talking about illnesses, because God can use that for His glory. But what I'm talking about is those that turn away from the faith, those that fall into sin. We know that is absolutely not God's will. And so, yes, we do grieve with those who grieve. We weep with them that weep. And friends, I just being honest, my heart's still bleeding. In fact, it's still tender. I think back, not Brother Seth, but before him, my previous song leader, most of you remember, Matt, you know, and still that still cuts my heart. I don't think I'll ever forget the last special we ever sung is Christ Dwelleth, Christ Liveth in Me, and we sung that as a duet. And every time I sing that, I grieve for him. I think now of we've been praying for this missionary family that fell into just heinous sin. The dad did, and it was last February we hosted them right here. We had them in our house for dinner. We had good fellowship. That following Sunday in February, he preached here. And I remember the special that his family sung. It might have been a recording, but remember they sang, "My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the rock of my salvation, the one who's in control. My hope is Jesus." And then just to hear the heartbreaking news this last week, I feel like someone died. I'm just being honest. I mean, it just hurts so bad. A few weeks ago, we heard of another missionary that left his wife. I mean, it's just a tough all the way around. We are reminded, of course, Satan is alive and well. He is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And the scripture tells us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, you know, not just to know the truth, but believe it. Title of this morning's message, please, 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 sow to the Spirit, not the flesh. Please, 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 sow to the Spirit, not the flesh. Again, it's for God's people, God's children. And I think it was two early mornings ago. Okay, so in the morning, everyone's still sleeping, but I was kind of walk up and about. And I saw, walking in our living room, I saw my kids' scooters lying on the living room, on the floor in our living room. Yeah, it's a mess. You know, it shouldn't be there. It should be in the garage. But it melted my heart. Because I didn't just see the out-of-place scooters. I actually heard in my mind the kids' laughter and I'm reminded of the smiles on their face as they're scooting around the living room, you know, and trying to not roll over toes. A lot of toes in our family, and so they got to not roll over toes. But it reminded me of the family and the home as it ought to be a safe place, a haven for the kids and for mom and dad, a place that kids can be kids. But also, of course, learn about God, His Word, His love, a place where hopefully the children first see God in mom and dad. The home, the family, marriage should be a place of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Of course, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And so who wants that in our family, in our home, in our marriage? We all do. But we only get that when we sow to the Spirit. And too often we sow to the flesh, and then I wonder why I have no love, no joy, no peace in my life or my family or my marriage. And it breaks my heart when children have their innocence and family foundation just shattered. Like I shared, we just found out just this last Thursday that a family that we know and love and pray for had this happen to them in a worse way. Dad had ended up sexually assaulting and raping his daughter. Just beyond horrific. And so do pray for this dear family. And I kind of, Lord, how did this happen? Well, Scripture tells us sin, yes, it's subtle. Sin is severe. And the guarantee corruption that comes when we sow to our flesh. Friends, don't sow to your flesh. Don't give your flesh what it wants. Now we might say, well, if we are truly saved, then our flesh wouldn't have wicked desires. False. Our flesh never gets saved. Our flesh is fallen, it's marred, and it's cursed by sin. And in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Romans chapter 7, this is not even part of the message, it's kind of a pre-message. But Romans chapter 7, turn with me there. These are the words of God through the Apostle Paul. But Romans chapter 7, verse 18, the Word of God says, the Apostle Paul is speaking candidly, but again, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, for God to tell us this truth. Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, Mr. Paul, that is in my flesh, his physical being, dwelleth no good thing. And, you know, contrast to that, it's full of wickedness. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And so not just no good thing, but it's his flesh, his body is full of evil, as yours is and mine is. Now, if we do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, it's kind of a play on words. It's still him, okay, because he still chooses to sin. But it's not the it's his flesh, okay? So it's the flesh side of Paul. It's the flesh side of me, the flesh side of you that was never saved, that will have to die, and dust thou art, dust thou shalt return, and God will give us new glorified body that's perfected, that's incorruptible, that will not sin. Can't wait for that, amen? And so until that time, we wrestle in ourselves. There's our spirit us, and then there's our flesh us, amen? And so I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. This law here is not the Ten Commandments, not the commandments of God. This law here is kind of like Murphy's Law. In other words, whenever, it's a rule of thumb. Whenever you want to serve God and you honestly, sincerely want to serve God, guess what? Your flesh don't want to. bank on it. 10 out of 10 times, your flesh will not want to serve God. Your spirit wants to. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, it's weak to do the will of God, but it's very strong to sin, okay? And so we have to feed the spirit, walk in the spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The flesh hates the word of God. It exposes and rebukes sin, but the spirit that is born of God delights in the law of God. But I see another law in my members, that's our members of our body, okay, so our body parts, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, verse 23 and 24 is kind of the bad news. Verse 25 is the good news. Amen. Okay, but verse 23 and 24 reminds us that we cannot win that war with our flesh. We cannot. We cannot resist our lust in our flesh. It's too strong. We cannot resist the devil to make him flee from us. We can if we first, what? Submit ourselves unto God. And the only one that can give us deliverance over the lust in our flesh. Now, we're saved if you believe in Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. You're born again. The Spirit of God indwells you. Your soul is forgiven. Your spirit is regenerated. Now, your flesh is never saved. And so this flesh, we're going to shed one day. And then we're going to get a new set of flesh. Okay, an incorruptible, immortal, angelic flesh. So that's wonderful. But until then, you have that internal turmoil, that tug of war in our heart, and we cannot win this in our own strength. I mean, I can't preach this enough. Preach it to myself. And so, oh, wretched man that I am. I mean, this is Paul saying that I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. He wants to serve God with his mind, but his body don't want to, bringing me into captivity. So his body's winning. His body trumps, beats his mind. But guess what? Christ trumps all. Christ delivers from our body. Oh, wretched man that I am. So he's so disgusted with himself. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because all the flesh wants to do is to sin. And it's and aptly said, the body of this death. Ever notice our body is dying? You know, it's slowly dying, and eventually it will die because it is cursed with sin. It's contaminated with sin. That's why our body, you know, they call it over the hill, you know. But our body slowly dies, okay? But verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one that will deliver us from the body of this death. Hallelujah. It's not us. We can't. Now, again, we can't save our souls. And think about it that way. If we cannot save ourselves from hell, how can I even live that victorious Christian life? God's got to do it. I have to yield to Him, soul to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, not to our flesh. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Our flesh is always sinful, always lustful, always wicked. Jesus Christ, yes, He will deliver us from the body of this death. You know, He gives us a glorified and He will give us a sinless body. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Lord doesn't just give us future deliverance. He also gives us daily deliverance from our sins. But we must yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Don't resist Him. Don't quench Him. Don't lie to Him. And don't sow to the flesh. Don't give your flesh what it wants. Don't build up your flesh. Instead, build up and sow to the Spirit. Say yes to the Holy Spirit and sow to Him. And so with that said, let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, and then verse 7 and 8. You know, we know these verses, but just, again, I was freshly reminded, again, just how big a deal this is. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, the Word of God says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." My friends, we are all farmers. The question is, what do we sow to? Because we are always sowing. Is it to the flesh or is it to the Spirit? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in Thy house. Thank You, Father, for Your grace and for Your mercy. Father, we do grieve and weep with those who are grieving and weeping. But Father, at the same time, we always rejoice evermore for how great Thou art. And so with God, all things are possible. And so, Father, we hang our hat on that, Lord. We hang our hopes and dreams in Your infallible Word. And so, Father, now guide my lips that I would speak as You would have me to say. Use me in spite of myself, Lord, that we would be edified and built up, that we'll be guarded and nourished up, Lord, to fight the good fight, to run our race and finish the course. And Father, help us not to sow to the flesh. Help us to always sow and cleave to the Spirit. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In this verse, it is the guarantee of corruption, if you will, by sowing to the flesh. The principle of reaping and sowing, it's a universal principle of God. It applies to everyone, both saved and unsaved. No one can escape this truth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sow, it doesn't matter what you sow, you will reap what you sow. That shall he also reap. It applies to me. It applies to you. It applies to every missionary. It applies to Paul. It applies to Job. It applies to all mankind. When we think otherwise, in other words, when I think I can sow to my flesh but not reap off my flesh, I'm mocking God. Whatsoever we sow, doesn't matter what it is, I will reap what I sow. It's like planting cherry seeds. If I plant a cherry seed, it's going to grow into a cherry tree. The cherry tree is going to produce cherries, cherry fruit. It's not going to produce, you know, watermelons. I mean, what? No, I mean, it's no-brainer. And so the same seed that goes in the ground is going to be the type of fruit that I harvest. I mean, it's not going to change any other way. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. In other words, if I give into the flesh what it wants, I'm going to get back really bad stuff, a corruption. Sowing to the flesh brings corruption. This is a guarantee. It brings ruin, decay, wickedness, pain, and suffering. But it kind of got me thinking, well, now if sowing to the flesh is so bad, how can we be even tempted to do it? Well, a couple of thoughts. Number one, because it doesn't happen right away. It doesn't happen right away. It takes time for bad seeds to grow. Sin doesn't just magically appear, okay, in that sense. It starts when we first yield to the lust in our flesh. Our flesh is never saved. It wants to do its own thing. It's anti-God. It wants to please itself. And so it wants to go its own way. When we give in to the flesh, and give it what it wants, then it births sin. Then sin is born. And then sin grows and grows and grows, and when it finally reaches maturity, you can think of a woman with child, and it comes out, it brings death, destruction, corruption, tragedy, and pain. And so it takes time. It doesn't happen right away. And it's easy in my foolishness. I read it here. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't mock God. But it's easy for me to sow to my flesh just this one time. No one's looking. I give in to my flesh, and then no lightning bolt. I'm still okay. Then I try it again. Ooh, got away with it. Try it again. Got away with it. But little do I know I'm mocking God. I said, don't mock God. I'm going to reap what I sow. But in the meantime, that sin is going to continue to grow, and then finally it's going to manifest. Okay, the works of the flesh are these, which are manifest. We'll get to that. So it doesn't happen right away, but it's growing. And then in the meantime, while we are sowing to the flesh, guess what? It feels good. It does. If sin doesn't feel good, no one would care to sin. I mean, duh. We do what we like to do. That's what the flesh wants. And so sin feels good. It pleases our flesh. But rest assured, we will reap what we sow. Okay, but so that, and so when we think about that, it doesn't happen right away. It feels good. How are we ever going to not sin? It's only through Jesus Christ. Because, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this earth? No one but Christ. We cannot deliver ourselves. If we ever say to the Lord, it's okay, Lord, I got this, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Rest assured, we will reap what we sow. Let's go to chapter 5 of Galatians. Again, of course, it's all just one letter, so it really, the theme kind of goes through the whole epistle. But Galatians 5, verse 19, and look at how the Word of God says it here. This is big. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and then, of course, the list of sin starts: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And so when the Bible says the works of the flesh are manifest, to be manifest means to be fully formed, okay? To reach its final stage, if you will. Seeds that have fully grown and now they burst forth. There's no longer hiding under the ground. It bursts forth from the ground. Sowing leads to manifesting. What we sow is what's going to manifest. No one can prevent this. You keep planting cherry seeds and you keep watering to that seed. Eventually, it's going to burst forth from the ground, a cherry tree. And then there's going to be fruits of more cherries, and there's going to just even more. Okay, so no one can prevent this. If we don't want, so this is a cause and effect thing, if we don't want the works of the flesh to manifest, please, 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 you and I, do not sow to the flesh. If we don't want the works of the flesh, which is a whole list here, and these are all bad stuff, if we don't want to see this come to bear, if we don't want to see this rear its ugly head, don't sow to the flesh. The harvest is not immediate, but it's guaranteed. The works of the flesh, these are the works that our flesh in us wants to work out. Don't let it. We need to instead work out our own salvation. Okay, same, very similar context. The idea is these works here in this list belong to our flesh. Let it be dormant. Don't feed it. Again, we're saved, but there is still sin in our flesh that never gets saved. Just let it be. Okay, don't mess with it. Okay, just cleave to the Spirit. And don't entertain the flesh. Don't give place to the devil. Don't say, "Oh, Satan, you can squat in my pinky here." No, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't let Satan find a squatting corner somewhere, because next thing you know, he'll take over the whole place. Okay, that's what's going to happen. Don't work out the sin that is in our flesh. Okay, don't seed it. And so look at this list. And so this is actually not so much a random list. You know, we look at these sins here in starting in verse 19, you know, they can be grouped, if you will, into different categories that collectively show the complete and total destruction and ruin that happens to anyone who sows to their flesh. Verse 19, we'll start off here. This is the sins of self-pleasure. So it's kind of a theme to the sins that are listed here in verse 19. The sins of self-pleasure, pleasing self, pleasing flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. So this is, whenever we sow to the flesh enough, then this is going to burst forth, entertaining those thoughts, indulging those thoughts, a little bit, finally, boom, it comes forth, it manifests, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Adultery, of course, is a sexual relations outside of marriage. Fornication, in a sense, any sexual sin, particularly within those that are not married. Uncleanness, moral impurity, evil thoughts, lasciviousness, that would be wanton, unbridled lust. And so you're giving the flesh what it wants. It's there. Our flesh does have those desires, and we're just giving into it. This defiles our temple, okay? To commit fornication, sinful, wicked acts, adultery, this defiles our temple. That's our body. Real quick, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So these speak about the sins of self-pleasure, pleasing our flesh. It feels good, but don't do it. It's not worth it. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:18. So back just two books. 1 Corinthians 6. If you go to verse 18, 1 Corinthians 6, flee fornication. Get away from it. Don't try to mess with it. Don't try to reason with it. Just flee it. Literally what Joseph did to Potiphar's wife. Okay, he didn't try to reason with Potiphar's wife as she came on. No, I don't know. He just took off. Okay, don't play with fire. You can't convince your flesh not to sin. Your flesh will always want to sin. So just flee. Go the other way. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, which is, every sin is wicked. Sin is rebelling against God. It's disobedience. That's, sin is all wicked. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Why is that? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? If you're saved, my friend, the Holy Spirit moves in and stays there for good. He seals us, he indwells us, and it is no longer our body, it's his temple. And when I commit fornication, adultery, you know, lasciviousness and uncleanness, these sins of self-pleasure, I defile my body, which is truly God's temple. So I defile the temple of God. For ye are bought with a price, that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore glorify God in your body, which is your spirit, and in your spirit, which are God's. The spirit and the flesh both belong to God. Amen. Glorify God with our body. Don't tempt him. Don't defile it. The sins of self-pleasure, they appeal to the flesh. And in fact, as you go back with me to Galatians 5, if you go to verse 20, the next verse here, how it starts off, we're going to see the same pattern, not last Sunday, but two Sundays ago. I think I preached on the doctrine of Balaam, very same MO that Satan operates, where it does lead to idolatry, but it comes through the path of fornication, okay? That's the doctrine of Balaam. You tell someone, hey, why don't you worship an idol? They're like, well, no, I worship God. But then you appeal to the flesh. That's where you compromise because it feels good. And then that leads to idolatry. And so the same pattern here, if you go to verse 20, now these, first the sins of self-pleasure, verse 19, verse 20, just the first two here, actually, the sins of false worship and idolatry. Next on the list, you have idolatry and then witchcraft. Witchcraft, of course, spiritual, you know, wickedness, doing things to get in touch with the supernatural, but man's way, our own way. And so that's the witchcraft here. You can think of it as far as, in fact, back in the Bible days, there's a lot of spiritual connotation, mysticism with different drugs and herbs, people getting high, things like that. So they're trying to get some type of quote-unquote enlightenment, trying to get some type of closer to God kind of thing, but of course it's not through Jesus Christ, it's just through fleshly means, right? And so, yeah, witchcraft, you do have sorceries and wickedness there. And then, of course, idolatry, which is, of course, worshiping false gods, false idols, anything you put ahead of God here, but it comes through the path of fornication, okay? And then when you consider this, if we are indulging in verse 19 with all the sins of self-pleasure, how can I effectively worship God? I can't. Because God's not number one. I'm number one. My flesh is, right? And so it goes hand in hand. Like that church member in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, don't have to turn there, but who had taken his father's wife, Paul said you got to purge him out, this leaven, because he's corrupting the worship. Even though his sin was what? It started in lust. You can say nothing to do with God. I mean, his worship of God is over here. My Bible reading is over here. I'm just one of, you know, but it is intertwined. So it starts with sins of self-pleasure. Feels good. But then it turns our heart, same thing as Solomon. What an example. All those hundreds and hundreds of wives, they turned his heart from the God, from the true God. Duh. But he went into it because of the fleshly reasons, but ends up committing idolatry. And then he served the false gods. And so it turns his heart, turns our heart. And so keep that in mind. It sins of self-pleasure. It's kind of the gateway. It feels good. And then it ends up in idolatry and witchcraft. And then look at the rest of the list here. Now it's a sin of conflict and strife. It just keeps going on. It starts with hatred in verse 20 there. And it kind of goes all the way, and it you could say it peaks at murder, okay? And that's, can it really get that bad? Well, let's see what the Word of God says. So hatred, and now these are the sins of conflict and strife, and they defile the family of God, okay? So you sins of fornication, adultery, defile the temple, and then sins of false worship, they defile the house of God. And then now sins of conflict and strife, they defile the family of God, the church family. Hatred, variance. Variance here would be discord, quarrels, okay, always forever arguing kind of thing. Emulations, extreme jealousy that causes anger and disgust. Oh, I can't stand you because I'm so jealous of you. Wrath, that's anger, that's vengeance. And then strife, that's schisms, seditions, dissension that causes divisions, heresies. This would be like breaking away, malicious factions, and then envyings. That's coveting there. And then goes all the way to murder. It culminates with murder. And I kind of get to thinking, wow, can it really get that bad? can our flesh really have that? And again, it doesn't really matter saved or not saved, because our flesh never gets saved. So our flesh is just as corrupt now as when we were sinners. I mean, our flesh is always sinful. Okay, so it's not about saved or not saved. But I get by thinking, boy, can our flesh really have that desire to kill? Well, let's go to James chapter 4. And notice how the Word of God says it here, right before, right after Hebrews, you find James chapter 4. Let's go to verse 1. James 4, look at this. Verse 1. And so James is writing to believers. And so this is what he says. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Now again, these are the sins of conflict and strife, okay? But that's already down the line somewhere from sowing to the flesh. And here's where they come from. Come they not hence even of what? Your lusts that war in your members. This is the same lust that warred in Paul's members in Romans 7. Okay, same. We all have this. And again, it's that gateway is sin in itself, but it's a gateway to even more sin. And it starts with the sins of self-pleasure, sins of false worship, of course, and then now the sins of conflict. And so in this congregation, there's a lot of schisms, there's a lot of backbiting, a lot of fighting, a lot of drama, a lot of strife and divisions in this congregation here. And then verse 2, James calls them out. It says here, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Meaning, of course, they're not praying in the spirit, they're praying in the flesh, which is not pray at all. But the idea is they want something, our flesh can want something so bad, it's willing to kill for it. Now, I like to believe that to some degree, you know, the sins of conflict starts with hatred. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you hate your brother, you've killed him in your heart. That's where murder starts, is in the heart. And so perhaps it's not murder. Okay, perhaps it's not killing. Hard for me to imagine that. And so maybe it's just hatred. But I don't know. What about second-degree murder? I had to look it up. Second-degree murder. That's when it's not premeditated. But you get so heated in an argument, in some kind of discord, some kind of fight, that some death happens. What about manslaughter? You know, it's accidental killing. You didn't premeditate it, but you still kill someone. I get it. Again, it could apply to just, I can't stand it, brother. I hate him. Could just be in the heart. But it could be kill. I mean, to some degrees. All I'm saying, But at the very least, we know that it is extreme hatred, severe hatred within the congregation. That's huge. I don't know, imagine if you had two brothers that were business partners, and then there was a falling out, and then one lost everything. Then the other one really hated the other one's guts. Or imagine if I had another brother, my prayer partner, all of a sudden he has an affair with my wife. Or another brother, and then he rapes my daughter. I mean, I'm just saying there can be things that can really bring that flesh out. Don't sow to the flesh. Lust can get so bad we are willing to hurt and defile, even kill others to get what we want. Remember the works of the flesh in Galatians 5 includes what? Murders. It culminates with murders. Remember David? He lusted with Bathsheba, right? It was an innocent lusting. No, it's not innocent. But of course, he was home, wasn't going to war. And so was he wearing any armor? No. Of course, that pictures the Christian sowing to the flesh, not wearing any armor of God. And then he saw Bathsheba. And of course, no surprise, he lusted her after in his flesh. And then he sows to his flesh, right? He doesn't sow to the spirit. He sows to his flesh and he calls her, summons her. And then he sows to his flesh again and he has an affair with her. He sleeps with her. And then he sows to his flesh again. He tries to cover it up. Instead of repenting, tries to cover it up. He tries to frame, set up Uriah to be the dad, you know. And so we know that whole story. And of course, it doesn't work. And then ends up Uriah and David are no longer on the same page. They're at odds with each other, right? Kind of the sin of conflict. So there's a variance between them because Uriah is faithful to the Lord. And David is not. He's kind of fallen this time in the flesh. And then so, of course, what's going to bubble up next? He's going to kill Uriah. And so that's the sin of starts with the sin of self-pleasing, self-pleasure, fleshly pleasure, and then the sin of false worship, because David fell out of fellowship with the Lord during that time, and then the sin of conflict where he ends up killing Uriah, right? I mean, so the same pattern, all because it started with lust. It starts with lust, ends up killing Uriah. And so it happens. And so don't ever think that lust only affects us. Don't ever think sowing to the flesh only hurts ourselves. It does. But 100% of the time, it hurts and defiles others as well. And then, let's go back to Galatians 5. Go back to Galatians 5 with me. After the sin of conflict and strife, always fighting, Galatians 5, let's go to verse 21. You have envying and murders, and then the rest of the list here, wrapping it up, really the sins of absolute unrestraint, completely unhinged. Look with me the rest of verse 21. Drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now this revelings here is not just partying, but the context of partying in these days were wild, grotesque, sexual orgies when they were just in drunk and reveling in their flesh. So it's completely just giving in uninhibited to their flesh, completely unhinged, a life of self-centeredness, zero temperance, which is, of course, the fruit of the Spirit. So zero temperance. Openly, unashamed wickedness. I think of a couple of weeks ago, we heard of another missionary who left his wife. No shame or heartbrokenness. At least then, hopefully now. But initially, no shame or brokenheartedness in doing it. Just said, "We're done. I'm leaving you." And so that breaks the heart. Beware, living continually in sin by sowing to the flesh and never repenting is a sure indicator that someone is not truly saved. And that's exactly what the Word of God is telling us here. So they're sowing to the flesh, sowing to the flesh, sowing to the flesh, but there's no repentance. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things, and this means continually doing it, no repentance, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Not saved. Now God judges the hearts, God knows the hearts. And we can't see if someone is saved or not, but the fruits we will know. But if someone is truly saved, God will chastise them. The Holy Spirit of God will grieve them. And there will be repentance at some point. At some point. If not, they're not one of his. And so instead of sowing to the flesh, of course, may we sow to the Spirit. And let's go back with me to Galatians 6 and then verse 8, the second half here. But he that soweth to the Spirit, O Lord, help that be us, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sowing to the Spirit, of course, means walking to the Spirit. You know, we will reap the fruits of everlasting life. This is literally working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We will live that saved life as God intended. Amen. We will receive the fullness of salvation when we get glorified, including all the rewards and crowns that God desires for us. Okay? Even just serving a cup of water in the name of a prophet, we will not lose that reward. But the rewards are ours to lose if we sow to the flesh. Sowing to the Spirit will not be easy. It will not be easy. Sowing to the flesh is easy and pleasurable. Sowing to the Spirit will not be easy, but it will be worth it. Look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing. Don't get worn out doing it. Don't ever quit doing well. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep sowing. It will not be easy, but it will be worth it. Let's go to Psalm 126. You know, we know this here. But Psalm 126, it's a good go-to verse just to remind us of God's truth. Psalm 126. Can't tell, I got a new Bible here today. Psalm 126. Oh, in fact, I grabbed the one with the typos on it, so I'm going to switch up here. Psalm 126. And then verse 5. We know this verse, Psalm 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What a promise. Now, it's not just saying that sowing can break our hearts, but sow anyway. And yes, it is saying that. But it's also saying that while we sow, we're going to be sowing amidst tears. In other words, we're going to be sowing to the Spirit even when we feel like not. We're going to be sowing to the Spirit even when we doubt. We're going to be sowing to the Spirit even when we feel like giving up. We're going to be sowing to the Spirit, even when we are hurting, even when we are crying, even when we can't understand, and our heart is just weeping and breaking. But friends, keep sowing to the Spirit. Don't quit. Sow to the Spirit, because the promise is we shall reap in joy. It might hurt right now, and we might feel all alone, and say, why is this happening? And it really hurts, and it pains, it breaks our heart, and we've cried all night. We water our couch with water, with tears, and there's no more tears left. Keep sowing to the Spirit, even if you don't feel like it, because we shall reap in joy. There will be tragedies and heartbreak in life. That's what it's saying. Tears are out there in abundance, but keep sowing to the Spirit. And this is exactly the pain and suffering that the Lord Jesus came to save us from. Just keep sowing. We will shed tears in this life, many, many tears, but just keep sowing. Never give up. Never lose faith. Always trust in the Lord. Verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Why? Because it hurts. Bearing precious seed, that's the word of God, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing his sheaves with him. What a joy. I'm reminded of Jesus Christ to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, right? And how they couldn't understand what's going on, why Jesus had to die and suffer. Then, of course, he rebukes them. He says, this is God's plan. Christ had to suffer first before he enters into his glory. It will be worth it, my friends. There will be pain and tears, but keep sowing to the Spirit. Please, please, please sow to the Spirit, never our flesh. Are we sowing to our flesh? If we are, repent. Repent, purge it out, repent. Don't let those seeds sown to our flesh manifest. You know, God can uproot that. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. We'll wrap it up here. Romans chapter 2. Praise God for the joy of repentance. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and then verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and then verse 4. Word of God says, or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Aren't you thankful that God didn't strike you dead that time that when you sinned at one time? Praise God. Not because God is weak. It's because his good, his forbearance, and his long-suffering, he puts up with our sin. So don't make light of it. That's despising it, thinking that it's beneath you. And be thankful for it, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's God's goodness, the Father's goodness, that drew the prodigal son back to him. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart. A penitent heart is humble before God. Impenitent means that you're opposite. So you're proud before God. Treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Be quick to repent, swift to hear. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's by sowing to the Spirit we reap life eternal and all the blessings that come with it. But unto them that are contentious, these are the sins of strife, right? And do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Doesn't matter who we are. We could be a long-term veteran missionary on the field. If we sow to the flesh, we shall reap corruption. Don't sow to the flesh. Sow to the Spirit, my friends. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a thought, Lord. What a reminder. What a warning. But what a promise of your word, of your truth. And Lord, we are just so thankful to be here. And Father, we ask that you be glorified in all that is said and done. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who's not saved, that today that they would trust wholly the Lord Jesus Christ alone for their salvation, to believe in him as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, we ask for the rest of us here, Lord, that we are reminded that many have made shipwreck around us, that we need to run the race, Lord, and to trust in you, never ourselves. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? None but Jesus Christ. Let us trust in Jesus Christ and sow to the Spirit, sow to the Spirit, sow to the Spirit, Lord. I don't want to reap the works of the flesh. And so, Father, bless this invitation time. Help us to repent, to keep close accounts with you in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed.